You turn to the book of 1 John. Last week as we started this book, John was telling us about the Lord, telling us about his deity, his humanity, his the salvation that came with the coming of Christ, that, you know, salvation, that plan of salvation was made manifest in our world. So out of that, we can have relationship with God. And, you know, it's interesting, the song, you know, in the garden, it talks about walking and talking with God. And that's relationship. That's what relationship is. It's having communication with someone. It's relating to them in some way, hence the word relationship. And God wants us to know certain things, and the overall topic of the book of 1 John is it's assurance in an age of doubt, where our beliefs are attacked, and sometimes just our inner person, the adversary, will tell us, "You don't have a relationship with God. Look at what you've done," you know, and all those things, and so we can have doubts. And And God doesn't want us to have doubts regarding Him and regarding our relationship with Him. And He's using the men and women of the Bible and the ones that wrote the words for Him. And these are all, of course, God's words. And He wrote it that we would know truth, that we don't have to guess about how things are. And, you know, it's interesting, on Wednesday night, we've been kind of working up to this prayer study that will start on the 27th. And somebody brought up, you know, the question that they had a friend that it was kind of like, how do I explain to her that she knows the Lord, that you know, there's salvation there. And, you know, how does a person know? And it's God does not want us to walk in darkness. He doesn't want us to walk in doubt. And so in the book of 1 John, he's starting off with some very basic things upon which we build our lives. And the first is the deity of Christ and what he did. And then secondly, it talks about walking with him, having a relationship with him, and that song, you know, walking and talking with the Lord, it should be a part of our lives. And yet, what does that walk look like? And that's a question all of us need to ask. And it's really something that we need to address, I won't say every day, but consistently. I think, you know, every now and then you need to take a step back. How's my walk? You know, am I walking in step with the Lord, or am I kind of walking on my own path? And we all have that tendency to walk on our own path. I mean, that's just the humanness of us. And so it's interesting, you know, most Christians, they want to hear from God. How can I hear from God? Well, it's interesting. One of the ways is His Word, okay? And verse 5 in 1 John chapter 1, it says, "Now this is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you." So that's how he opens this up. After talking about who God is and who Jesus is and what He has done, he says, "Now this is a message." So, you know, our ears ought to perk up. Our hearts ought to be attentive when the Bible says, "This is a message from God that I am declaring to you." And he says this, "God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. If we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he himself is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we don't have any sin, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. And so what we have here is these six verses where God is talking. He talks about himself, and he talks about really the kind of the claims of mankind. And there's three claims that we're going to look at that mankind makes. And we need to recognize these, because we can slip into it. And also, beyond that, those are the claims of people that don't know the Lord that we may come in contact with, and we're charged with witnessing to them. We're charged with sharing the light with them. And we need to understand where some of these people are coming from. And so we get this kind of a dual purpose message from God. But make no mistake about it, it's a message from God to us. And the first part is simply God is light. God is light. And he says, you know, this is the message we've heard from God, and this is what we declare to you. God is light, and there is absolutely no darkness in him. You know, light is pure. It reveals things. You ever get in front of a bright light, in front of a mirror with a bright light? You see things you wish you didn't see. It reveals our flaws, don't it? And the older you get, the more flaws are revealed. You know, the movie stars, the ones that are on the screen, they really hate high-definition television because they don't look as good as they did before, because you can really see the flaws. And you know what? You can't hide when you're in the light. You ever see those cop chase scenes, you know, and they got the helicopter up there, and that guy runs over there, and it's usually at night, because when do people do things wrong? It's at night, right? They're in the darkness for the most part. And they'll get in a place that is really hidden until that chopper comes over with that light and goes poof, and now all of a sudden this guy's not hidden at all. He's revealed, or they're revealed if there's more than one. You can't hide when you're in the light. It reveals. And the Bible says there is no darkness in God at all. He's pure. Is there darkness in us? Yeah. Every one of us knows that. We have the dark side. But God does not have that. He's pure. He is pure light. He's pure, holy, all-knowing, all-truth. You can count on what God says. And it's interesting, that's how the Bible even begins. You know, it says, in the beginning, God. And then what is the first thing he says? Let there be light. And he hadn't created the sun yet. He hadn't created the stars yet. Hadn't created the earth yet. It was really just him. And poof, light. So, you know, God is, it's really amazing how he describes himself. He's so complex, so big, so powerful, so many things, and yet he reveals himself to us in such simplicity that even we can understand. God is light. And when Moses says, "What's my name?" he says, "My name, I am." So simple, and yet so profound, and so deep, and so meaningful. He is. It isn't that he was. It isn't that he will be. He just always is. I am. And he doesn't change. You know, like all of us that have accepted Christ as our Savior, we have changed. We were different. I can look back and say, I was this or that, but now I am this. God never had that. He was always the same. He is and he doesn't change. You can just marvel in the simplicity with how he describes himself. It is so simple and yet so deep and so complex. And we cannot really attain total knowledge of God in this life, but he uses these things so that we can have relationship with him, so we can know who he is, so we can know him. And as the song, walk and talk with him. He is so big and giant and complex, and yet he is so intimate and personal. And he reveals himself to us. If he hadn't, you know, if he hadn't wrote this word, we could not really understand or know him as much as we do. He chose to use his word to reveal himself to us. And he did that through revealing himself to other people. He, you know, revealed himself to Abraham and Moses and different people who wrote these things down for our benefit. God is light. But verse 6, we have, he changes. I mean, it's kind of like every other verse. First is something good, then the next verse describes us. And it's people in darkness. People in darkness. And he says, if we say, see, now God is light and there is absolutely no darkness in him. But if we say, we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness, we are lying and are not practicing the truth. You know, this is the first of three claims. We're looking at three claims that mankind makes to God. And the first one is, people claim to have fellowship with God, but are actually living apart from God. There are a lot of people that do that. There are people in churches that look good, that claim to walk with God, and yet they are living apart from God. John wrote this to the church. For the church's benefit, we need to listen to these words. This is from God, and we need to examine ourselves. And he says that there are people that claim, yet they are apart. Our true standing before God is revealed by our walk. And, you know, he uses the word walk. We claim, we say we have fellowship with him, yet we walk in darkness. That's a walk is not just a step. Now listen, and we're going to get into the other things later on, but the bottom line is nobody's perfect. We all sin, even after accepting Christ as Savior. This is talking about a walk. This is talking about a lifestyle. What is your lifestyle? What is it characterized by? That's what reveals where we're at with the Lord. Our true standing before God is revealed by our walk. Do we live according to the truth? You know, it's interesting. You know, my wife and I work at the, or she works there. I'm on the board, but she's there every day. And she tells me all the time, every girl that comes in for a pregnancy test claims they're good with God. Just virtually. I mean, they've had some that, but I mean, it's like 90-something percent of them. They'll say, how are you with God? Oh, yeah, I'm saved. I'm a Christian. And yet, some of them, it's like their third kid, you know, from three different men. The lifestyle is not lining up with what they're saying. People deceive themselves. And indeed, most people in the United States think they're going to heaven. It's something like 90%. They do polls. You think you're going to heaven? Oh, absolutely. Well, what do you base that on? Well, I'm a good person. You know, not been in prison. Don't beat my wife. Never murdered anybody. You know, so I'm good. They claim to be in fellowship with God, and yet they live apart from him. That's people in darkness. They don't see. They don't see. But then we do have people in the light. Well, people claim to have fellowship with God, but are actually living apart. I forgot I stuck that in there. But are actually, that's the first claim. That's the first claim. And you find that within the church, you find that out of the church. People that claim to be Christians, people that don't even claim to be a Christian, but they still think they're okay with God. And yet they walk in darkness. We got the second, though, is there are people in the light. And John points this out. But, okay, there are people that walk in darkness. They say they're good, but they're not. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Now, this isn't like one another, like you and me. This is one another. This is with... If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. God with me, me with God. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Those that do walk according to truth walk in the light and are in fellowship with the Lord. And when we sin, we make it right and God cleanses us. Let me ask you a question. If when you do something wrong, are you broken? Are you broken over it? You know, in the book of Joel, there's a very powerful verse that says, you got to quit tearing your clothes and start tearing your heart. And what they would do in the Old Testament times when they were convicted of their sin, they would get on their knees in ashes and they'd tear their clothes. It was a sign of humbling themselves. It was an outward thing that they did to humble themselves. But Joel says, no, you need to quit tearing your clothes. You need to tear your heart. Is your heart broken over your sin? When we mess up, are we broken by that? Or do we just kind of go, well, you know, make an excuse for ourselves or whatever? Do we realize that when we sin, that it's that sin that sent Christ to the cross? Do we realize what that does to our relationship with God? So when you walk in the light, and we mess up, and we do, every one of us. But when we mess up, the light reveals it. If you're in the light, you see it immediately. And your heart says, I got to do something about it. And what do we do about it? We ask him to forgive us. And he tells us that. We have fellowship and the blood of Christ, his son, cleanses us from that sin. So there's people in darkness. There are people in the light that correct. But then we come to the second claim, and it's people in deception. There's people in darkness, but that's the first claim. There's people in deception with verse 8. And it says, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Some people claim they have no sin nature. Okay? And listen, that is a common thing in the world. People, it's the mantra of people are basically good. And you hear that a lot from the world. Oh, people are basically good. No, they're not. No, they're not. We are basically bad. We have a sin nature. This is deception. There's people that say all people are basically good. Oh, a child is so innocent and honest. Really? You ever raise a child? You know that's not true. Now, they are sometimes a lot more transparent than we are. But they are certainly not innocent. they have their agenda too. And I'm not saying it's evil. I'm just saying the sin nature reveals itself. They're in deception. They are deceived. And it says the truth is not in them. That is a strong, strong statement. If the truth is not in you, then there is nothing in you to convict you. And that kind of reveals where you're at with God. Now, like John 14:6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one gets to the Father except through me. But he calls himself the truth. And then this verse says, if you're lying, the truth is not in you. And what do we talk about when you accept Christ as your Savior? Jesus is now in my heart, right? But John is telling us, if we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. You ever meet a self-righteous person? Hard to deal with, aren't they? They never do anything wrong. It's it's a gift to have a conscience. It's a gift to get convicted because that's what lets us know, hey, we need to take care of something. And there are people in deception, though. But praise the Lord, there's people in truth. And he says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, people like this, when God convicts us, we don't make excuses for our sin. Because that's what we want to do, isn't it? When we mess up and we get caught, kind of, you know, whatever, it gets revealed in one way, we tend to make excuses. Well, I wouldn't have done it if... Anybody watch that football game last night? I mean, that one guy lost the whole game for his team. And, you know, they get down, and he made a great play just before that. That would have sealed it when he intercepted the pass. It should have sealed it. He made a great play. And then there was a fumble, but then the other team got the ball, but they were still way far away from being able to do anything about it. But he had been headhunting all night. And his coach had repeatedly taken him off the field, yelled at him, but sent him back out there. And then at a crucial time, he just takes this guy's head off. And there's a penalty. And that caused another teammate to have another penalty. And they lose the game. And they tried to interview this guy in a locker room afterwards. Anybody see that? They go in the locker room, and of course, they want to know, you know, what'd you do? Why'd you do that? All he would say is, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know. That was his only answer. He refused to talk. He refused to say, you know, at least own it and say, I screwed up and I cost my team the game. You know? And you know what? I bet his teammates would have respected him a lot more. But they interviewed one of the teammates, and one of the teammates wasn't too happy afterwards. He was like, yeah, you know, I mean, he didn't come out and call the guy out, but you could tell he was really upset with what this guy did. It cost the whole team. And you know what? When we sin, we are not the only ones affected by it, folks. We affect people around us. And none of us expects the others to be perfect. But when we mess up, we ought to own it. And that just makes you get respect when you do that. You know, when God convicts you, don't make an excuse for your sin. Don't blame it on someone else. You know what I have found? Yeah, other people have done things and I have responded to that wrong. But I still was the one that responded. I didn't have to, you know, I can't control what they did, but I can control how I respond. And if I respond wrong, it's not their fault. It's mine. And God's so gracious. He says, look, just confess it. Just own it. Whatever it is you did. And you know what? There's some bad stuff that we do. We do things that are wrong. But the beauty of it is if you're really humble, if you're really broken, God forgives. It just says if you confess it, just own it. He is faithful. He is righteous. And He will forgive you. And better than that, or at least as good as that, and cleanse you. Make you white as snow, as the Bible says in another place. He cleans us up. You know, it's like the little kid in the dirt, you know. The kid falls, you pick him up, you dust him off, you clean him off. So he can go forward again. That's what God does for us, but it requires an act of contrition on our part. The Bible talks about a humble and contrite heart. That's a heart that just says, just, Lord, I blew it. It was wrong. And don't even say you don't know why you did it. Because you did it because your heart tried to get you out of trouble or tried to pass it off on someone else. You didn't want to do whatever. You know, you had a lust or a desire or whatever. It came from you. You know, it's not like Flip Wilson. You know, the devil made me do it, you know. No, the devil tempts us in everything, but we choose. We choose. So just own it. That's all God asks. He just says, own it. Own it. And I hope we are people of truth, people in truth. Because the truth reveals. And we don't have to make excuses. We can just say, I blew it, Lord. Forgive me. I let my own lusts and desires get in the way of truth. Would you please forgive me? And you know what? If you're sincere, if you're humble, and He can look in your heart and see if you are, okay? You can fool me, but you can't fool Him. He sees the heart. He will. He will absolutely forgive you. Now, there may be consequences to what you did. I mean, if I was that coach, I think that guy would not be on my team next year. There could be consequences. But unfortunately, as men, we tend to overlook flaws because there's a certain talent level there, and we don't deal with the flaws. And so because the guy's a good player, he may still be on the team, but how good a player is he really if he costs you the game? What's the point of having him? And what kind of player are we on God's team? That's the question. You know, God wants to do some things to achieve goals, to get things done in His kingdom. Are we a hindrance or are we helping? And again, He doesn't expect us to be perfect, just expects us to own it and move on. That brings us to the third claim. People dishonor God in verse 10. How do they do that? Well, people claim that sin is not present in their life. Look what the verse says. If we say we don't have any sin, we make Him a liar. Man, that is a strong statement right there. If we say we don't have any sin, we are saying God is a liar. That is so strong. Now, not many people that have any kind of fear in God would actually make that statement. But He says, if we claim we have no sin, that's what we're saying. And Jesus even addressed this. Remember the story? He said, why is it you're going and trying to take the little speck out of your neighbor's eye and you got this like 2x4 in your own eye? You know, You got all this junk you're dealing with, and you're trying to point out someone else's sin as if you don't have any? And we're good at that. We're really good at that. It is so easy to see where other people screw up, isn't it? And you see people, and they're raising their kids, and you're like, man, look at that kid, man. Golly. You know, they need to get their act together, you know. And your own kid is like, what's he doing, you know. It's easy to look at other people and say, wow, look at what they're doing wrong. Look at that flaw. Look at that decision, whatever. But, man, look at my own decisions I've made. Who am I to talk to them as if I haven't done anything? Here, let me fix that for you, and yet you got this huge 2x4 in there. You can't see anything. I remember many years ago, long before I was saved, some guy came to me. It was a friend, and having problems with his wife and asking me for advice, and boy, I had the answers. My life was so jacked up at that time. I'm not kidding you. It doesn't surprise me they ended up getting divorced. So much for that great wisdom I gave them. But the point is, I didn't realize how messed up I was. That's part of being in darkness, folks, is you don't really see where you're at when you walk in darkness. But when you walk in light, it helps you to see where you're at. We have a tendency to think we're okay. But that makes God a liar, because he says we're not okay. For the truth of God says we are not okay. We need to humbly confess our sin, receive forgiveness. And when we deny our sin, that dishonors God. That dishonors God. Great theologian Matthew Henry, he said, the Christian religion is the religion of sinners. So we're all in good company. It is, isn't it? The Christian life is a life of continued repentance. It is. I don't know about you, but I gotta get things right on a regular basis. But it's continued repentance. Isn't it great that God said, you know, when Peter, I think it was Peter, asked Jesus, you know, how often do I, you know, forgive somebody? 7 times? And he thought that was being pretty generous. Jesus said, no, 70 times 7, which is the number of eternity, by the way. It's just a metaphor. In other words, because you know what? 70 times 7 is what, 490? I think I've sinned more than 490 times. This morning? This morning? I mean, there's 365 days a year. If you only sin once every day, it'd be 365 times. And, you know, we're all more than like 2 years old. So I'm sure we're up there in numbers. It's continued repentance. And it doesn't mean, you know, we make an excuse for ourselves. It's just saying, Lord God, I blew it. Help me to change. Help me that I don't make this. You know, we should have the attitude we don't want to make the same mistake again. Because if it never changes, then there's a walk going on. And I understand there's strongholds and there's addictions and there's things like that where you may need help. I understand that. But people need to discern, am I sinning because I'm addicted, or am I sinning because I've never made it right with God in the first place? Because the Bible says that if we don't know the Lord as Lord and Savior, then we are a slave to sin. And that means you can't help it. The difference between a Christian and a lost person is that a lost person can't help what they do. A Christian chooses. Because we have power. The power that raised Jesus from the dead is right here in every Christian. And you have the power to change. The Bible says we are new creatures when that happens. Doesn't mean we're flawless, but we have power. And we are able to make a decision to choose righteousness. We are able to do that. And when we don't, because we, you know, I don't know why God did this, but he left the sin nature there. Why didn't he make it so that when I accepted Jesus, the sin nature was gone? It would sure make life easier, wouldn't it? Just respond righteously in every situation. But he chose, for his reasons, to leave that nature within us. And that's why Paul talks about the war that goes on within us. You know, you got the little devil on one shoulder and the little angel on the other telling you, go ahead. Devil's saying, go ahead and do it. You'll get away with it. It's fun. And then the angel's going, you better not do it. You know, we got that battle going on. Battle between good and evil. It's always there. And so when we fail to continually repent, we grow callous to our sin. So, religion is a religion of sinners. The Christian life is a life of continued repentance, so we need to repent. It's continual faith in the Redeemer, thankfulness for the Redeemer, love to the Redeemer. How's your faith? If you're like me, I got a lot of faith in some areas and not so much in others. But how's your faith? How's your thankfulness? Are we thankful? I mean, really thankful? I was thinking the other day. I mean, go to a third world country sometime. We threw out more clothes than some of these people will ever own in their lifetime. We threw out, I don't know, I mean, how many pairs of shoes does it take to make 550 pounds or whatever it was? And we, you know, and you know what, truth be told, every one of us could have given a lot more. We still got a lot of stuff in our closets we're not ever going to wear. You know, I mean, how thankful are we? We throw out more food than a lot of people eat or get to eat. And we do it without even thinking. I mean, you know, we're just blind to it, really. We're so used to being blessed, we don't even look at it as a blessing anymore. We get mad at other people for having some kind of entitlement mentality, and yet don't we ourselves have it in a sense? We really need to be thankful. Because we know what? We don't deserve what we have. God doesn't owe it to us. And how about your love? Do you really love God? You know how God defines love? How, well, maybe not defines love. Defines how love is shown, I guess, or how you prove your love to God. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. That's what God said. He links love to obedience. And How well do we keep his commands? One of the commands in the Bible is be thankful. In everything, give thanks. It's not a request. How thankful are we? The Christian religion is a religion of sinners. The Christian life is a life of continued repentance, of continual faith in thankfulness for and love to the Redeemer. This is a great description of walking in the light. Walking in the light does not mean we never sin. That's a double negative, but somehow it just makes perfect sense. Walking in the light does not mean we never sin. It does mean that when we do, the light will reveal to us our need to confess and receive forgiveness. That is the only way to remain in fellowship with God, as well as with one another. You know, if you don't have it right this way, hard to have it right this way. And you know what? If you don't have it right this way, hard to have it right this way too. It works both directions. You got a bunch of people mad at you? God says, you need to make that right if you want to have a relationship with me. And yet, when we ask God for forgiveness, when we do something maybe to somebody, or you know, we didn't treat somebody right, we ask him to forgive us, but then he will immediately convict you and say, you know, you need to go to that person. Before you give me worship, you need to go to that person and make it right. Then you come and worship. So, you know, it works both directions, vertically, horizontally. And you know, God wants us to know this. That's this book of assurance. You can know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you have a relationship with God, and you can know beyond a shadow of a doubt if you don't, by reading that passage and applying it to your life. And then depending on which way it's been revealed to you, you need to take action. How is your walk? That's the question we need to ask. Praise the Lord for the assurance he gives us by simply walking in the light. You know, he doesn't make it real hard. This is not hard stuff. What makes it hard is our nature. It is hard to confess your sin. I mean, you know, we don't want to do it. It's actually easy to do. You just own it. But our personality, our sin nature makes it difficult for us to just own what we have done. It's us that makes it hard. God's ways are actually pretty simple. Isn't it great? Praise him. We don't jump through 57 hoops to please God. We don't have to do that. You ever work for a company or work with a person where you can't ever please them? And no matter what, you jump through all the hoops and hoops, and they still find something wrong. God just says, get real with me. Just get real. Just confess. And I'll forgive. If you're sincere, if you're really humble, I'll forgive you freely and restore you. You know, we say, that's the beauty. He's not just a God of forgiveness. He's a God of restoration. And there's nothing that we can do that's so bad that God cannot forgive us and then restore us and then use us for his glory in his kingdom. That's a marvelous thing. And it all begins with simply getting real with God. That's the only hoop there is. It's just being honest with him. And what's crazy is we lie to him and we already know he already knows the truth. And we kind of don't get, just come clean. We act like he doesn't know. He knows us better than we know ourselves. So praise the Lord for the assurance he gives us by simply walking in the light. Just let his light, the light of his word, the light of his spirit, reveal to you the area that's lacking. And then own it. Ask him to forgive you. Ask him to show you the way he wants you to go. You know, he will. He doesn't want you to fail. He doesn't want me to fail. He gives us light so that we can see. What a great God we have. So, come to the invitation. There may be some here today that you don't have the light. There may be someone here today that, you know, you're kind of professing to be, like we said, professing, but living apart, walking another way. Or there may just be someone here that just knows. They just know that they are not in fellowship with God. They've never asked him for forgiveness for their sin. Never acknowledged that they were a sinner. There could be someone here like that today. For those of us that have accepted Christ, how faithful are you to make things right with him? Have you been lacking in that? Have you been kind of, I don't know, holding back? Are you thankful? Do you have some sort of mentality that we deserve the good life and we kind of get forgetful of the blessings that God has given us? We need to thank him. Do you love God? We say we do, but do we really? God himself said, if you love me, you'll obey me. You know, that's really the litmus test. It's the defining qualification for that statement that I love God. Oh, really? You love me? Are you obeying me? It's so simple. God doesn't make it hard. He wants every one of us to understand. So this is a time for you. We can have every head bowed, every eye closed. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I am not walking in the light. I am walking in darkness. I've never known the Lord. Amen. God bless you. Is there anybody that would say, you know, I'm not as thankful as I ought to be. I've taken a lot for granted from God, and I kind of forgot the blessings. Anybody like that? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Let God work in your heart. All you got to do is just thank him. Put him back in the forefront. Are you faithful to keep things right with God? Anybody say, you know, I kind of let a lot of my sin go and I don't make it right with him on a regular basis. Anybody like that? God bless you. Thank you for being honest. God bless you. It's just getting real with God. That's all it is. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we thank you for your word, which just makes things so clear. Thank you that we can have clarity regarding our walk with you, regarding our love for you. Thank you, Lord, for the message you sent through John for us, that we could recognize where we stand with you. And beyond that, Lord, to make it right and receive the blessing of forgiveness and the additional blessing of just making it right and being useful to you, being restored. Thank you, Lord, for all that you've done through your word and your spirit and your power in our lives. May we respond to you in a way that pleases you. In Jesus' name, amen. This time is yours. As the music plays, you deal with God. Whatever He has revealed, don't let this time go by. Make it right with Him. If you need prayer, if you'd like prayer, you can come up here. We'll pray for you. Whatever. This time is yours. Use it wisely. There's situations in this room, folks, and God wants to move in a mighty way in these situations, and sometimes it doesn't make sense, but God has a plan and a purpose and a way of making things work according to His will and way for our benefit and for the benefit of others, and sometimes you just need to believe it, even if it doesn't look like it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord God, I lift up Jim to You. I pray, Lord, that his heart would be okay. I pray, Lord, as he seeks a second opinion, that, Lord, the doctor would have wisdom and that there would be a treatment that would relieve the pressure that he's feeling in his chest, and that would hopefully eliminate the situation altogether, Lord, that he would just be able to come back to us. And I know he loves You, and I know he serves You. So, Lord, I pray that You would take this from him, heal him, Lord. And I lift up Olivia and her family as they are going to be going to court tomorrow. Lord, I pray, Lord, that the judge would have discernment and wisdom, and that You would move on the judge in a way that would best benefit the family, Lord. Pray that there would be comfort and peace in the whole situation. It's a really emotional situation, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you would restore this family and protect it as well from the wiles of Satan, who, as we know, is trying to destroy families. And so, Lord, You are stronger than Satan. He that is in us is stronger than he that is in the world, and we bank on that, Lord. You are the mighty God, and then no one can stand against You. And we thank You for that. Lord God, thank You for Your word. Thank You for the truth that it contains. May we all apply it to our life in a way that our lives would glorify You each and every day. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.